Hi, this is Roberto. You are back with another Steambox podcast. I'm with my steampunks today. Round number two with PVD Prep. PVD Prep?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up? Yeah. You got it. Get your energy. Get your energy. Everybody's already like, hey, make some noise. But say what's up to the world.
What's up?
I got my homies in Ireland. Shout out to them.
Shout out to our homies in Ireland. What he's talking about is we have an audience in Ireland. We have an audience around the world. And again, I still don't understand why people are listening to our podcast. We got people talking about wild things. We got people talking about lions out of the blue. My man over here is talking about how he's already looking forward to his second wife.
Hey, don't tell them that!
Okay. So, Brayden, I'd like for you to have an opportunity, because I busted chops right off the bat. Why am I saying that you're looking forward to your second wife already?
You mean my third wife.
I'm cheating
on my two current wives.
Your two current wives.
They won't know.
What kind of wives does a seventh grader have? Are these like, are these Minecraft wives, or what's happening? Oh, he's being warned to not speak on his wives.
I can't see it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
I can't see it.
All right, I am happy to move on, believe it. I'm sorry for getting you into that quandary. Yes, please do not. We're going to go right into PVD Prep. I want to have this conversation about PVD Prep. A moment ago, you guys had a lot to say about the technology and about the cell phone. Y'all mad about the cell phone policy. So I want to give you this opportunity to express that and express that to the world. But PVD Prep has you here learning podcasting. We got one of my friends I just learned, Tanisha Watkins from high school.
Yeah.
She's what? The director of operations?
Yes.
Director of operations at PVD Prep. Shout out to Tanisha Watkins. There's amazing things happening at this school. So before we get into a conversation about how much we hate giving up our cell phones, I'd like to go around real quick and I'd like to find out what's your favorite thing about the school. Who wants to go first? Go ahead. And then I'll go this way.
I like creative preps. Creative preps are like subjects that you can teach by choosing it, like arts, music, theater, and other stuff. I'm in the music class, which I love music. I love music.
Mr. Saunders, does PVD Prep, is that something that they realize that the arts are being taken away out of a lot of schools? And they're taking the opportunity to say, we're our own jam. We can have arts.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we take a lot of pride in is our creative preps, because it gives us a chance for the kids to actually get out of their normal classroom routine and work on some of the other areas of their academic life. So creative prep is one of the ways in which we do that.
And Brayden, you were going to say that too, right? You were going to say creative preps.
Yeah.
What's special about creative preps for you?
Is that... I'm in the group Renaissance. So basically, the group Renaissance switches between other creative preps, like arts, gym, and art, music, and
theater.
Oh, theater. All right, good. Which is your favorite?
Gym.
Why?
Because it's fun.
All right, you get to spend a lot of that energy. You have a lot of energy, I've noticed, over 2 days. So gym makes sense because you get to spend a lot of that energy. What's your favorite thing about PVD Prep?
The friends that you, make at the school.
The friends that you make at the school? Okay. Have you made a lot of friends at the school?
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. We had somebody in this room that were like, oh, that's my homie, she's my friend, and they were referring to you, but then it was like, but then she had to throw in, she had to stab you in the back and be like, but not my favorite friend, though. I was like, damn, why did you twist a knife?
I'm not throwing her.
So it was a nice compliment. You were like, oh, this is one of my friends, and then she's celebrating friends, and you were like, but not my favorite friend.
because
it's like... We're in the same friend group, and she's also one of, my closer friends, but it's at the same time, I don't talk to her as much as my other friends.
You don't want to betray your BFF.
No.
What's your favorite thing about her?
Her kindness.
Okay. I could see that. Having been here for 2 days, I've seen your kindness. You are really nice and respectful to others, so we appreciate that about you. Mr. Saunders, quickly, what's your favorite thing about PVD Prep?
My favorite thing about PVD Prep is actually the nurturing atmosphere that they install at the school. I think the chance to meet one-on-one with the students in our small groups is one of our special opportunities that we have at the school. It's just a place where you feel comfortable sending your kid.
All right. Lewis is our guest on the next podcast. He's here because he started a side Steambox podcast called Steambox After Dark. Lewis does not go to PVD prep, but while you're in the room, why not just tell us your favorite thing about being a warrior from Central Falls High School?
I'd say probably the events that we have. Like, we have a week-long event for Valentine's we had recently. We had a prep rally and different stuff, like, wear the colors of the school and different stuff like that, which I enjoyed.
Okay. All right. We're back to PVD prep. My man here, not wearing your Steambox shirt today, thank you very much. But you are wearing Spider-Man, so I'm still happy for your garb. What's your favorite thing at PVD prep?
My favorite thing at PVD prep is the teachers and things that they teach.
Like what? Like who?
Like science, which is Mr. C, and social studies, which is Mr. Saunders. And it's like, they teach it, and it's fun. Like, actually fun stuff. And we get to watch videos and do experiments and stuff like that. It's really fun.
Okay. All right. You like science. Man, you need to be a Steambox student year-round, man, because we do some dope stuff. You'd have a good time with us.
How do I join?
How do you join Steambox?
Yes, I would like to join.
Good question. And since we are talking to the world, and a lot of our listeners are local, I appreciate that question. Steambox was started by our students. Our students are our board. And one of the things I realized is I was leaving one community to start Steambox. So a lot of the students that were helping me were from Central High School in Providence. And I said, okay, I'm going to start a program over here at Alvarez High School and then a number of other schools. But what about those students that I was leaving at Central High School to go start Steambox? So we made it intentionally so that when we do a program like this, the doors open. Even if another community's paying for it, sometimes it's a sponsor like Cox or Verizon. But even if Central Falls is paying to have Steambox here, the superintendent is very friendly with us, and she knows that we've got an open door so that any student who can make it here is welcome to join us. So the answer to your question is to walk in the door. But we additionally have extra programs so that if you can't make it to Central Falls after school immediately on these days, I expect that's true for a lot of you. So we also do a hackathon sometimes twice a year, and we try to do it in a central location in Providence where people can easily take the bus and get off at Kennedy Plaza and just join us right there in one of those buildings. And the hackathons are really dope. So I really appreciate you asking the question, because the long answer that I gave, I'm going to wrap up into a short answer, is follow us on social media at SteamboxRI, and you'll see when we're doing a hackathon. Last one, we had so much VR, and we taught everybody how to mix and how to make music. We had people from Spotify helping us with this and from a few other organizations. And we do a lot of prizes, too. So join Steambox. It's a good time. You don't have to be here in Central Falls. Lewis is lucky. He gets to see us three times a week. People in Highlander get to see us twice a week. Other people get to see us around. But you can participate in a number of our events through those ways.
But I have a question. I don't use social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so, okay. I like you asking these questions because I'm directing it to our audience, too. So what if you don't use social media? I think what I'll do is we're going to fly a plane over Providence, and we're going to drop, like, leaflets. And it's going to be little mail things. I guess I'm poking fun. I don't mean to poke fun at you for not using social media. You are healthier than I am for not using social media. When I use social media, it makes me feel bad. I see a really bad... Yesterday, I went to hack something. We're using our podcast time to get into these stories. But I appreciate the questions, and I think some of this stuff is important. You don't use social media. A moment ago, I almost like kind of poked fun at it. But also, yesterday I went online, and I went to hack... don't call the police. I went to hack the Harry Potter game. I went to hack the Harry Potter game, there was a hacker there named Empress. She's a famous hacker, and in her notes for the game, where you can see like how you can hack it and modify it, she went on this long anti-trans rant. Now, it's not somebody, she wasn't saying, hey, thanks for checking this out, blah, blah, blah. She went on this long thing full of hatred towards a certain community. Now, it doesn't matter what your politics are. It was just, I woke up tried to do something fun, and now because I'm online and in this particular social media thread, I'm just reading such hatred. That was my experience, and in one thing that I saw, and to be honest, I see stuff like that every time I like read the comments. Sometimes somebody will just post a nice picture, and it'll be like, bro, you fat, right? Like, have you ever seen that? Have you ever, side conversation, have we ever seen this on social media? Can everybody give me an example?
So I don't have social media. So.
Go ahead.
This fat dog, right? This big, happy dog, right? And then this person who has skinny dogs on the profile says, thank animal abuse.
I don't know the last words that you said.
Animal abuse.
Animal abuse, because that person has a fat dog. Yeah, have you ever, but also have you ever been online, maybe it's video games, maybe it's some other type of media, but those are social when you're in party chats, and you hear just toxicity? You hear just people, like, talking, like, give me an example.
Yeah, kind of, when it's, like, I'm on TikTok or anything, and it's, like, you go through the comments of, like, other people's, like, videos and everything, and it's, like, you look at them and they're like so pretty in their own way, and then other people start coming at them, calling them obese or something, or too skinny or too fat, and it's just downbringing.
Go
in
ahead.
Some way.
I agree with what she said, because yesterday, me and my friend were playing this game, and there was this girl, and then she's like, oh, you don't have parents, oh, you're fatherless, like stuff like that. So I just love the game, because I'm not going to deal with people like that, to be honest with you.
I'm sorry for taking a detour, and I know I made a long story long. Did you have something to add? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something from what Bella said. There's just a lot of, like, mean stuff happening, like, out in social media, like YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, anything, and even, like, Snapchat, too, like Facebook, you know. And honestly, I just have to say something about that, that it's just, like, disrespectful and rude that someone behind a screen would just waste a couple minutes of their life just being mean to somebody for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Go ahead.
Like, people have the audacity to take time out of their day just to hit on someone.
Exactly.
Like, it's not even fair. Like you're just going on your phone, and you're just spreading hate, and that's not that nice.
Do you have something to contribute to this?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Alright, just to prove a point, TikTok, of all apps, is a really hateful place. Plus, people just get mad at you for no reason, and then they say the most bogus thing ever.
Has this stuff, because I see your point, I think that's great, has it ever made you feel bad?
No.
No.
It's never made you feel bad.
You don't
have social media. Why are you? I'm not talking to everybody else. Go ahead.
Yes, because it's like they're just trying to do their thing and have fun by themselves, and you're just bringing hate into their life.
Yeah. It makes me feel bad when I see that somebody on my friends list is so hateful towards any marginalized people. So hateful towards immigrants. Anybody in my friends list, any one person, if my friends list has 1,000 people, it just takes one for me to be like, yo, somebody in my real life hates immigrants. Somebody in my real life hates Latinos. Somebody in my real life hates students or young people. Somebody in my real life hates gay people. That makes me feel like, where am I in my life that somebody, like that person is in my yard. That person's in my friendship. Thank you for bringing up this discussion. I think it's really important. I see you. But I'm trying to pull us back. You did. Because we were talking about how healthy it is that you're actually offline. Because to be completely honest, my work, it's important that I share your story on social media. So I go on social media and I use it a lot for work. I also use it for family pics and stuff like that. But the truth is, it takes away from my mental health. But that comes into the accessibility that we all have, because we all have the devices in our pockets that most of the time when we're going online, it's to communicate on media, whether it's social media or whether it's a direct communication. And we're going to have that conversation in just a second. What's your favorite thing? And I want to switch back to the positivity about PVD prep. This negativity is about social media, not about PVD prep. But I'm getting back on positivity about PVD prep. positivity about PVD prep. Go ahead.
Well, a good thing about PVD about PVD prep is definitely the way teachers are like teaching the kids. It's a really fun, happy, and exciting way to get the kids, you know, excited for the subject, like math or science or social studies that Mr. Saunders teaches me, or what was the other one, ELA. You know, everyone just has their own unique, fun way of, like, teaching these kids, and that's what I absolutely, like, love about the school, is just, like, the fun way of just teaching these kids.
Mr. Saunders, does, is there flexibility as a teacher so that... I remember in Providence, particularly 10 years ago, there was a very specific guideline,
right,
a pacing guide. And what this means is that your teachers, every single time they step in the room, they have to be on the same page of what they're teaching. And I imagine that's really hard, but I imagine that I cannot exist in that environment because that lacks creativity. Like, what do you need me for? I'm just an automatic robot doing what's on page 59. Right. Does PVD prep give you additional flexibility in the classroom?
That's one of the greatest assets about teaching at PVD prep, is the ability to go outside of the curriculum. And that allows me to, you know, add different visuals, whether it be poster board or video on computer. It just gives me a chance to give different mediums to the students, which helps keep them engaged in the subject matter. So for me personally, like, I will probably give, you know, a 5-minute review, but we'll spend more time probably watching the subject matter than me actually speaking, because kids do a better job when they see it and hear it than rather just listening to their teacher lecture.
Okay. What is your favorite thing? I appreciate that. I appreciate that about PVD prep too. What's your favorite thing about PVD prep?
I feel like one of the favorite things about PVD prep is more of the, like, small uses of, like, kids in the classroom, because it's, like, it's not so overwhelming with, like, only, like, 19 or 20 kids in there because it's so small.
How many students? You said 19 or 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the schools that I work in have, like, 35 kids in a classroom. And I just, again, how do you do that? You got to be a really great creative teacher. And then sometimes it's the pacing guide that doesn't allow you to be creative, but then there's like 35 students and teach all these students the same way at the same time. So I could imagine that could be hard at other schools, and your school's got some flexibility. 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. Man, I'd still like to even have that even lower, you know? But that's great that they have the flexibility to do that.
And our school only holds like 200 and something students,
which is an advantage. You know, a lot of times numbers, like when I talk about Steambox, I say, hey, we're serving 900 students this year. It's a lot. There's a lot of really huge organizations. I'm a tiny organization, and I'm serving more than a lot. So I flex it. I flex that number. But if I was teaching in a school, having that few students is definitely beneficial for the students. Yes. Because you get a lot more accessibility to Mr. Absolutely. Saunders, right? If Mr. Saunders had a group of 19... And what's the opposite of Saunders? Mr. Rondes has a group of 40. The group with Mr. Saunders gets double the attention per student, right? You get double the face time with the teacher. So that does sound like a really great thing. Anybody have?
I think it also allows the teacher to acclimate certain curriculum per student. So. We can have students, you know, in a small group meeting with one particular teacher dealing with ELA. And then we'll have another group of students that will meet with the teacher, and they're dealing with the overall curriculum of the... of the overall curriculum of the day. So PVD does allow you to get into small groups where they can really break down and get into an individual's strengths and weaknesses.
All right. Has that helped? Can you think of a student that helped you with? Don't say name, but like, can you think of like with this student in particular? Like, it made it much easier to.
The way we have it broken down, we pretty much ELA and math, and we kind of separate them out. And each kid is graded accordingly. So it does allow us to say, all right, this particular student is not doing as well in math, so we will give them extra resources for math during a particular small group Okay. Or vice versa, or ELA.
All right. So now, I know a lot of you have something to say about this policy where they take your phone away. We've done this once before. Highlander Charter School, at the beginning of the day, you have to put your phone in what's called a yonder pouch. Put your phone in the yonder pouch, and it's locked. And it's even worse because you have your phone all day, but you can't access it because it's in this like locked Ziploc looking bag that you can't saw open. You can't, scissors aren't gonna get your phone out for you. What do you guys think about it? Do you want the yonder pouch at Highlander? Is that you're shaking your head no?
I mean no.
No, that's a no. What's the policy now?
We put our phones inside a bin.
Yep.
So, and this bin is put in somewhere else in a different room, like the dean's office or the area that we get our extra jackets and other stuff. Yes, Brandon?
Daniel, it's put into the dean's office. I've seen it multiple times. All of them are put in the dean's office. They're like near like a shelf on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
With multiple...
Yeah, the dean comes around and collects the phones every morning.
Yes.
All right, the dean is collecting the phones. Now, the reason we're discussing this now is because we were trying to take our passions, put them in a parking lot, and talk about some of the things. And we did that. We talked about some of our passions. But also, one of the things that we were very passionate about this morning is the idea that, like, I don't have access to my cell phone today, and some of you were mad about it and talking about it. And I was like, this is the kind of thing that we talk about. So what's the biggest reason that you want your phone and think you should have your phone? Go ahead.
I think we should have our phone because what if there's like an emergency situation and let's say like your teacher doesn't have access to your mom or your dad or whoever, then you can just call your mom because or your dad or whoever, because if you call like your mom or your parents yourself, I think they might answer more quickly than if it's just your teacher.
Do you mean in the middle of class?
No, not in the middle of class. Obviously not, but like if there's like an emergency situation.
So what would be, and I see a couple of you, and I will go to you. What would be an emergency situation? Give me a realistic emergency situation.
Like if there was a fire or something.
If there's a fire, you want your phone so that you can call your parents.
Yes.
Yeah, to pick me up.
Okay. What do you think that should be the first thing that happens during a fire?
No.
No, but like, not like while you're in the building, but like when you get outside the building and like you're safe.
Yep. Our audience might be thinking, I know I'm challenging you. I know you're giving me the death look. I apologize. I'm just trying to really get to like good solid points. But our audience might be thinking, hey, maybe somebody should call the fire department, right? And they should put out the fire and just get you to safety. So like I, as a dad in this situation, I don't want you texting me. I want you to get the hell out of that building. Forget your phone. Forget your jacket. I'll get you a new phone. I'll get you a new jacket. I want you to be alive. Get out of that building. So I see your point. Once you're out of that building, maybe we can borrow somebody's phone, make a phone call. There's phone lists and stuff like that. So I'm not trying to disqualify your point, but I'm also trying to say that I'm sure the school has thought about some of these things as well. What do you say to that? Because I know you give me the death look, and I know I pushed back on you, and I'm sorry. But what do you say to that?
The school has had fire drills, but like I don't think they would think like you like texting or calling your parents once you're outside the building. Because since we only have done like few fire drills, I don't think that really comes to mind.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. And again, my job is not to push back on you. I just want you to have a platform and a voice for this. But I also wanted to, some people might be thinking this, and I just wanted to be able to address that. What did you want to add?
Sometimes some kids have diabetes or something that you need to check your blood pressure. Some kids might need a phone or something to like check their blood pressure each time. I heard like a story on YouTube that a kid was using his phone a lot to check his blood pressure, then the teacher took it away. The kids started turning pale, and the principal walked in and scolded the new teacher, or no, substitute.
Okay, so would that be an exception for that student? Do you?
Yes, because they need to check their blood pressure.
So you think some exceptions should be made?
Yes.
There's situations where exceptions should be made. I think that's a valuable and important point.
I also agree with that because, like, in some situations where you actually need to use your phone for, like, if you have a medical problem or something that, like, you have to check in with your parent, like, every hour or something, I agree with that. But, like, at the same time, I agree with the school because it's, like, at the same time, you don't want everybody to be focused on their phone.
What?
During class.
This conversation was on you. This conversation was you this morning. Like, oh, and now you flipped teams. You did this to me in the game. The game that we were playing earlier, you did this to me. You betrayed me. You're betraying your group right now because you started this conversation. You started this conversation so that we could talk about how you didn't like them taking your phones away, and now you're like, oh, maybe they should take our phones.
I realized.
And I do.
Okay.
I do got to stick up for the school. If a student needs to use a phone, every teacher has a phone that they can use.
Every teacher has a phone.
Every teacher has a phone that they would let the students use in case of emergency, which we have done, correct?
Yes.
What's the policy at Central Falls?
Realistically, there's not much of a policy. It's just like you can use your phones in the hallway, class to class, but you can't use like headphones at all.
Okay.
But there's like. Mostly, if you get called for the phone, they'll take it away for the whole day.
Have you seen it be a problem, the phones?
Not really.
Okay. What do you think of this phone policy?
Honestly, I feel like okay about it because like what Bella said, like I understand like the teachers want the students to like, participate in, you know, the subject and the lesson and stuff, but. I'm honestly also on the student side, because, like what Daniel and Bella said about the medical problems, like, if they actually have to check their phones, like, you know? But, like, also, like, we know, I mean, this is, like, my opinion, like, I know, like, if I had my phone on me during class, it's not like I'm, like, using it. Like, if I bring my phone to school, I put it on silent, I put, like, the volume down, the brightness down, like, I put it away in my backpack.
Yep.
I'm not using it for the whole, not even like recess or lunch or a break or nothing. I'm just, my phone, my backpack, I'm not touching it. I'm not checking on it. Like, oh, nothing.
But you have peace of mind knowing that it's there.
I do.
Knowing that you have it.
Just in case of an emergency, like I only like, if it's like not an emergency, then I'll just keep it in my backpack.
I think what Mr. Saunders said was important. And I think what you said is important too. I think the school has a good point. And I think you have a good point, too. And I think sometimes just having that accessibility, because we use our phones so much for, like, we know that that's, for some of us, it's our path to safety. But we also talked about how, for some of us, it can be a path to, like, mental unwellness, right? Like, just going on social media can send us down a rabbit hole. What do you want to add?
I want to say something.
Please do. There.
You should keep your phone in your backpack. For non-emergency situations.
Your team backpack.
But.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If there was if there was an emergency.
Yep.
Like an armed person enters the school, you should call 911.
You know, the worst thing, the saddest thing to me about all of this is I wondered if that would come up. I wish that it was not a realistic situation. I wish that we lived in a world, when I was in high school, that would be a ridiculous thing to say. When I was in high school, that's the kind of thing that never happened. After I was out of high school, that's a thing that happened. And then now there's cops in schools, and sometimes I feel like they're not even protecting us from the shooters, but sometimes I feel like they're protecting the principals from us. Or like the principal's henchmen kind of things. And it started this whole spiral to the point where now we live in a world where you're saying, I might need my cell phone in case there's a school shooter. You guys feel safe at PVD Prep, right?
Safe.
Mm-hmm.
No. In what way don't you feel safe?
Providence.
Because it's Providence. It's an interesting... Providence might have a bad rap sometimes. It's an interesting way to look at it. I did have some... I don't want to go down a rabbit hole with that. But Providence can also be lovely. But inside the school, do you guys generally feel safe?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Do your teachers make you feel safe?
Yes.
Okay, good.
What happens if I said no?
What happens if you say no?
Yes.
Explain yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to say no.
Oh, is it just to be on the other team, or do you not feel safe at PVD Prep?
I don't know.
It sounds like most of us feel safe, and you just want to be a contrarian in the moment. Okay. Well, we've got a contrarian. Go ahead.
I feel safe, but, like, also at the same time, it's, like, at the same time, no, because it's, like, everybody always comes after somebody at school, and it's always a problem because they always start something with either you or somebody that you're friends with, and you always get pulled in. So either you're going to end up getting in trouble, or you're going to end up getting called in to talk to somebody for no reason when you weren't even involved. But also at the same time, the teachers do make you feel comfortable because they talk to you more than, like, if you were at a public school, you wouldn't talk to anybody mostly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, and I hate to say that is the world that I grew up in. That's the stuff that I had to worry about in high school, not the school shooter stuff, and I hate that that's even a realistic thing that we were talking about, but that's the kind of stuff, that's that kind of teenage drama, right? That teenagers bring upon themselves. Our communities, for some reason, are usually even better about that in Providence and in the urban areas than in the suburban areas. And in the suburban areas, think about TV that you see and stuff like that with the high school stuff and all the drama that happens there. And it's not just because it's TV, but like the suburban areas like find a way to be meaner to people in high schools than in a place like Providence. What did you want to add to that?
Yeah, to add on what Tabella said, like sometimes you're just like chilling, you're like, you know, having a good time, and then like people start like these arguments for no reason, or like even for the smallest problems they just start a argument, and they might like get you or your friend in it, and that's kind of sad in my opinion, only because like I didn't do nothing, I'm just like chilling, and then now you're bringing me into this problem. Like, let's be for real.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Keep my wife's name out
your mouth. Or that way too.
All right. Keep my name out your mouth, or it's going to be a problem.
All right. I really appreciate this conversation. We're going to move into our second podcast in just a moment. I really value this conversation. There was so much that got to come up. We got to talk about how social media can be harmful, but how our cell phones can be helpful. But also how we know that the school has a reason for taking our cell phones, but also that we have peace of mind by having our cell phones on us. Can I throw in 2 cents?
Yes.
All right, my 2 cents is both sides of the fence. I'm doing a push here. And what that means is I could argue both ways, right? Like I could say on one hand, I'm sure the school got you. If there's a fire, if there's other kinds of emergencies, I know the school got you. Your first priority is to get you safe. And I know some of the people at that school, and I know that they will get you safe as much as they can possibly can. And then they can help you with the appropriate phone calls. But I also understand the peace of mind of having a cell phone, not just the peace of mind of having a cell phone, but as a technology guy, how we shouldn't be afraid of cell phones. Yes, social media I talked about, but of the cell phones themselves, these things are computers now. We wanted computers in classrooms. We wanted computers in all the classrooms. We're trying to find a way to raise money to put computers in your classrooms when you guys are walking in the door with Snapdragon computers in your pocket. So we all have access to these computers. So I just find that interesting. And I wish that there was a way that all the schools can find the creativity. And I wish there was a way that we could behave without the drama, where we can have our cell phones, and instead of fat shaming other people, we can find it to, we can use it creatively to like improve our schoolwork, right? Like, cause imagine if you had access to your cell phone all the time when you're in math and science, and how much better you can be at it. So I see both sides. I think it's dope. You guys had so many nice things to say about PVD Prep. Is PVD Prep a place, put your hand up if you think and want to speak on it. Is PVD prep a place where you would recommend other people send their children? Go.
Yes.
Go. Why?
Because it's a nice place. It has a good educational value and that's it.
Why is PVD prep a place that you would recommend?
I feel like I would recommend it because it's educational for some kids, as Daniel said. And also you can make a lot of friends, like close time friends that probably live near you and you can hang out with out of school. And you wouldn't have a lot of problems with that person because you would know them in and out of school. And there wouldn't be like a whole bunch of things to happen.
And because Mr. Saunders is there.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Steampunks at PVD Prep. You've just wrapped up your second podcast. Steampunks at PVD Prep. Please say peace out to the world.
Peace,
peace out.